You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily podcast on the Minnesota Timberwolves, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Welcome, 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 ladies and gentlemen, to another Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Today, game two of the first round of the playoffs for the Minnesota Timberwolves. They're taking on the Houston Rockets in the Toyota Center. We have a special interview with Jeremy Brenner. He is a writer for SB Nation's Dream Shake. That is the page or blog or website, whatever you choose to call it. But that is dedicated specifically to covering the Houston Rockets. So Jeremy knows the ins and outs of the team, has been covering them all season long. He joined the show to talk about Game 2, give us a preview, give us a look at what he thought of last game, what he thinks of the Rockets going into this game, some predictions for who should have a good game, some predictions for how the Rockets should play. I give some insight on the Timberwolves and what I'm kind of expecting from them, and then we predict how the game is going to go to finish out the episode. So hope you enjoy that interview, and hope you enjoy the second game of the Timberwolves playoff run.
Kind of a similar, it's a story I've seen before. Harden has had many games this year where it's been, you know, his night, and he needed to basically put on his Rockets backpack and put all of his supporting cast action figures in his backpack and go to the end. And I think that game one was one of those nights. I don't think it's going to be like that the whole playoff, but there are just nights where everybody is cold, and that was the case Sunday night. Like Chris Paul was 1 of 6 from three, PJ Tucker was 1 of 5, Ariza didn't make a three, Eric Gordon was 1 of 7 from three. That's not going to happen every night. So I think that they'll be okay, but you know, having James Harden is a real luxury, and that's why he's more likely MVP of the league, and because he can have games like this and he can, you know, put his team on his back and, you know, take him to victory. And that came in the clutch Sunday night.
I am really worried about game two, primarily because the Rockets are not going to, I don't think they're ever going to shoot 27% from the three-point line again. I just don't think that's ever going to happen in the playoffs. And so if you're looking at this, you had D'Antoni say they really liked the shots they were getting, they really liked the looks, and they just weren't able to knock it down. If you're looking at Trevor Ariza 0-for-4, you're looking at Chris Paul 1-for-6, you're looking at Eric Gordon 1-for-7 in this game, how much more is it a testament to how good James Harden is that they had everything they wanted and they just couldn't convert for whatever reason, and they still beat the Timberwolves in a game that the Timberwolves made ugly, which is exactly what they wanted going in?
Yeah, Mike D'Antoni said at the end of the game on Sunday night, he said, "We can win and not make shots." And that's the big difference between this team from this year and the team from a year ago, is the fact that they can have an off night and still win games. The team last year was very dependent on making their shots, and if they didn't make their shots, chances are they weren't winning the game. But, I mean, look, Harden and Capella, you can't discredit Clint Capella here because, you know, 24-12, shooting 10 of 15 from the floor, he was, I believe, the most efficient shooter from, you know, the regular season. That was big. But yeah, it was very troublesome having guys cold all night. But I agree with you in the fact that it's not going to happen. I don't think it's going to happen two games in a row. I think that it very well could happen again. But I feel like the Rockets are going to make the adjustments necessary in order to get back to where they need to. The way I see it is the Rockets played Sunday night, but they didn't feel like they won the game. And yes, they say, you know, we'll take anything, but I think they're going to go into game two feeling like they're down 0-1 because they didn't play very well as a team. But it does show a testament as to how deep the team is and how, you know, solid James Harden has been playing this year, is the fact that, you know, we can have an off night and still win the game. We'll see if we have an off night on the on Wednesday, but that's just something we'll have to wait and see.
I'm preparing for the worst because a lot of this team seems like it'll be pissed off about the three-point shooting and about the shooting in general and the trouble they had converting. And it seems like they're going to be aggravated. If you're looking at guys on this team that will really thrive and really do well when they're playing aggravated, who's kind of the top offenders for that? Who are the guys who are really going to play well because they're angry about last game and how that went for most of them?
P.J. Tucker. No, that's an easy question for me. I think P.J. Tucker, when Patrick Beverly was traded, it was honestly, you know, yes, we got Chris Paul, but it was my, you know, Patrick Beverly is my favorite ex-Rocket. And because he's the guy that you want on your team, but you hate to face. And it's because of the energy and, like, the demeanor that he has when he's on the court. He simply is, you know, he will do whatever it takes to win the game, and he has just like an attitude, which is really huge on the defensive end, and it's really why the Rockets are, you know, so much better defensively this year, in my opinion, is because we have guys like P.J. Tucker and Chris Paul who have come in and have really shaken up the defensive identity of the team. And I would say that P.J. Tucker has kind of taken on that role this year that Patrick Beverly, you know, left voided when he went to Los Angeles. And when P.J. Tucker was inserted into the starting lineup in the second half of the season, that's when this team changed. That's when this team became a great team instead of a good team. And he really brings a defensive presence that is needed for this team, and it's a reason why they won 65 games in the regular season, is because P.J. Tucker was, you know, the defensive heartbeat, and the guys kind of fed off of him. And I think that putting him on Jimmy Butler, I think we saw a lot of that in Game 1. I'm sure we'll see that many times throughout the series. Jimmy Butler was 4 of 11 the other night with only 13 points. I think that's a testament as to how P.J. Tucker played on the defensive end. Even though he wasn't as good on the offensive end, I think that P.J. Tucker still had a solid game on the defensive end, and it really was a good reason why the Rockets took the win in Game 1.
Before we get prepped for Game 2, wanted to hear from some of our sponsors. Game 2 is going to be, again, in the Toyota Center in Houston. You've got the Rockets going in after a 104-101 victory with a 1-0 lead on the series over the Timberwolves. Game 2 on Wednesday. Looking at this game, is Derrick Rose one of the guys on the Timberwolves that can kind of be that X factor? I think you expect Jimmy Butler to play well defensively, and you expect more points from him probably this game. I think you hope that Towns gets more shots and more looks and kind of get what looked to be a little bit maybe of playoff jitters out of his system, and now he's coming back with a bigger game. You've got Wiggins, who played, I thought, really well defensively before he kind of accumulated those fouls in that third quarter. And for the rest of the roster, you got a bunch of guys who are mostly role players. Is Rose kind of that X factor off the bench who, if he can get enough minutes, can be one of the guys who's really dangerous for the Timberwolves against the Rockets, especially driving to the basket?
You know, I think Derrick Rose, I did not have him scoring 16 points. I thought it was something that was very impressive from Derrick Rose. It's the Derrick Rose that Minnesota wanted when they signed him late in the season. And I think that I was surprised. I'm not even going to like sugarcoat it. I was surprised. And I don't know if you can consistently get 15 points a game from Derrick Rose in the series. I hate to say it, but I think that the Rockets, this is what their strategy should be if they want to continue to win. And win, you know, convincingly, because this wasn't a very convincing win on Sunday night. But basically, the Rockets, a strategy that they should enforce is they should let Karl-Anthony Towns have the ball and get his shot. The surprising thing is that Karl-Anthony Towns didn't play that well, yet the Wolves were still in it. And the reason why is because guys like Derrick Rose Jamal Crawford, and Wiggins, Jeff Teague, all those guys were kind of filling in the void. And the way I see it is if you let Karl-Anthony Towns do his thing, get his points, score 25, but if you can shut down everybody else, you should be able to win the game. And so let your superstar have his and shut off his supporting cast. And that is the strategy, I think, looking into game two that the Rockets should look to enforce with Towns. I was surprised that Clint Capella outplayed Towns. I didn't think that was going to happen. I don't think it's going to happen every game. So that's the key to this game. Derrick Rose can't have 16 points every night, or even close to, you know, even half of that would be something that shouldn't be expected. Our guards are much quicker and have much better knees than Derrick Rose does. So I would not expect Derrick Rose to be able to keep this up. I think that it was nice to see because they really do like Derrick Rose as a player. And I was happy for him, I guess, in a sense. I wouldn't have been happy for him if, you know, they had won, obviously. But I think that this was kind of a flash in the pan. If we see it again, then maybe this is like the renaissance of Derrick Rose, which would come at the absolute most terrible time for Houston Rockets fans. But I can't see it happening, Colton. I'm sorry. But I'm sure you're hoping for 15, 16 points off the bench from Derrick Rose for sure.
Well, I think it would give the Timberwolves offense an interesting look, especially if they're running a couple guards at a time when you have Teague and Rose out there. They also, looking at the numbers, when Towns and Rose were on the floor, the Timberwolves as a team performed a lot better than when Towns and Teague were on the floor together. It just feels like there are moments, and I'm not saying that Teague is a waste of money at the point guard position or anything like that. I'm not even saying that Teague shouldn't have been starting once they brought Rose in or anything crazy like that, but it does seem like for what they need against the Rockets, Rose is kind of the point guard of choice over Teague right now, just because the offense seems a little more stagnant, a little more isolation oriented with Teague at the helm. At least it did in that first game. Whereas with Rose, it seems like he can do stuff off ball when he's playing with Butler, or when Butler's on the bench and he's out there with Wiggins and Towns, it feels like he can do more of the getting to the basket and then kicking it out and really putting pressure on the interior of the defense. And with the struggles that the Timberwolves have had as far as shooting three-pointers from the outside, they need all the help they can get there. So any collapsing of the defense that can be brought on by Derrick Rose, I think, is only going to help their three-point shooting, which is already kind of a negative for the Timberwolves. So I think from what I saw, at least from Game 1, again, a kind of a small sample size, but from what I saw in Game 1 against the Rockets for Rose, he seems to be giving a few more options to the Timberwolves on offense as opposed to what Teague brings to the table. And again, both of those are kind of guys who bring a negative to the defensive side. So I think you really got to judge them purely on offense, because I don't think either one has a leg up on the defensive side, and Wiggins and Butler have to be those guys. So hopefully Rose can be somebody who brings a little bit of a different flavor maybe to the Timberwolves offense. Again, on with Jeremy Brenner of SB Nation's Dream Shake, covering the Rockets, the Houston Rockets page for SBNation.com. Going into the second game, who are guys you think are critical for the Rockets? Obviously, James Harden is going to get his, but around him, do you think there are guys outside, maybe not a Clint Capella, maybe it's Trevor Ariza's night? You mentioned how P.J. Tucker is a guy probably set to bounce back and feed off of the frustrations from the first game. Is there another guy that sticks out to you that is due for a really big night?
I would say Eric Gordon. And the reason why is because I feel Eric Gordon, who won the three-point contest last year at the All-Star game, who was a participant again this year, he shot 1 of 7 from the three-point line, which is very much it's a no-no. We really can't have that happen. You know, you could honestly really make an argument for all of these guys, because Chris Paul six turnovers is not something that we want to see either. He also did not have a very solid night from the floor in terms of shooting. I honestly think that the Rockets need one guy or two to have a good night if they want to win. It was Harden and Capella last time. Now the Rockets just need one or two guys to simply be on their game that night. And it doesn't necessarily matter who, because the Rockets can win in so many different ways. Ariza can go out and make 15 points in a quarter. He's done it before this season. P.J. Tucker can make four threes if he needs to. He's done that before this season. Eric Gordon has gone, and he's made 30 in a game. I wouldn't be surprised if we see that either. Gerald Green is a very streaky shooter as well. He's either on or he's off. And Gerald Green, I could totally see 5 threes come out of him. I mean, it's crazy how many different ways the Rockets can win games. But if I want to see one person in particular have to have a really strong game, it would have to be Eric Gordon, just because he is used to having a better night from the floor, and he just simply didn't have it on Sunday night.
Well, and the thing that worries me, you bring up Gerald Green and Eric Gordon there. The thing that worries me about the Rockets is that Tibbs just historically is pretty inflexible with how he messes with his lineups. And D'Antoni is probably about as opposite you can get there, willing to definitely dip into his bench and play them as you saw in the first game, 29 minutes for Eric Gordon, 19 for Gerald Green. Both those players not playing particularly well either, and they still see a decent amount of floor time. You have Harden, you have Chris Paul, all these guards, and you can go out there with guys like Clint Capella, who's a really fast center. You can play him at the five and throw out four guards. And then you have the Timberwolves, who aren't necessarily flexible with throwing out guards, who would be on the slow end that there if they throw out a lot of guards. They're just so deep, specifically at guard, with so many guys who can jack up shots and knock them down, usually night to night. So if Eric Gordon or Gerald Green or both get hot from three-point range, they can throw out a lineup that's really going to give the Timberwolves fits, especially with the way they usually play a little bigger than most teams. And so that could be a real problem for the Timberwolves in the game too.
Absolutely. We've seen lineups where Mike D'Antoni throwed out Chris Paul, Eric Gordon, Gerald Green, and then you have Trevor Ariza playing the four. P.J. Tucker's played some five this year, too. And that's what we call, what we like to call the Tuck Wagon lineup. Because the Rockets, back in the day, used to have a center by the name of Chuck Hayes. And he was a 6'6" center. He's played in the league for a little over 10 years. He was undrafted. He just retired about 2 years ago, maybe even last year. But he was a 6'6" center. And we would play him at center. And that was called the Chuck Wagon. And that was their Chuck Wagon lineup. So it's like a Chuck Wagon 2.0 lineup with P.J. Tucker, but now the Tuck Wagon. And that is usually the lineup that D'Antoni puts out there if he wants to go real small and if he wants to get a lot of open spacing on the floor with some three-point shooters like Gerald Green, like Eric Gordon. He'll throw out Ariza. It's unfortunate that we don't have Musa in this series because he would usually go out there. Ryan Anderson also may or may not be in this series in the future, probably not for Game 2 at least. But if he is able to play in the series, you could see him out there as well. And, you know, D'Antoni is going to stick with about seven or eight guys playing a good amount of minutes. I mean, Joe Johnson did play, but he only played like 6 or 7 minutes. So yes, it was technically a nine-man lineup, but he's really only rolling with about eight guys. And that's usually what the Rockets like to do, is they like to put out as many three-point shooters to get as much spacing for James Harden to go with isolation or have Chris Paul go for his isolation. That's the Rockets' offense, and it's really worked so far, and the Rockets are going to keep rolling with it until it doesn't work.
No, their versatility is really going to be a problem for the Timberwolves over this series, and I think heading out of the series, one of the things that will be talked about at length after the playoffs is done for the Timberwolves is what should have been done about maybe the bench, what they can do just as far as bench players getting more minutes, throwing out different lineups, what could have been done earlier this season as far as experimenting with different lineups. So I think that will be a big story headed out of this game, something I'm definitely not looking forward to. As far as for the Timberwolves, I think, like I said earlier, I think Derrick Rose could be an X factor. They just need to get Towns shooting more, I think, and run more offense through Towns. He's an all-star player who shot 9 times in this game, and that's not good for the Timberwolves, and that's not good for the offense. Before we head out here, any other predictions for this game? A score prediction? Any other predictions as far as maybe a winner? If you wanna slide one of those our way, anything else you'd like to add?
I'll give the Rockets the win, but I do think that Karl-Anthony Towns will have a much better game. I think I see Towns with like 20 and 10, something like that. I don't think Derrick Rose is going to have 16 points, but I also think that James Harden will get about 30, and the Rockets will win by no more than 3, but no less than 10. I think it's going to be still a pretty tight game. The Wolves are young. The Wolves are playing like they don't have anything to lose, because honestly they don't, and that's the real struggle with playing a team like the Timberwolves that hasn't been in the playoffs before, that really is, you know, kind of, they really don't have anything to lose. They're expected to lose the series in 4 or 5 games. So if they, you know, if they lose, they're expected to lose. If they win, that's when the pressure goes on the Rockets. The Rockets have all the pressure in this series. And because the Wolves are young, the Wolves are going to be back in the playoffs, and the Wolves are, you know, they're just starting. They're going to be a team that is going to be a threat in the playoffs for years to come with, you know, Wiggins and Towns, and you know that those two especially, and Jimmy Butler as well. This team is going to be a serious threat to the playoffs for the next several years. And I think that the Wolves are just, you know, they're learning now. And I think you mentioned about, you know, talking about later in the playoffs or later at the end of the series, what's going to happen. I think the Wolves are going to be commended for how well they fought with the Rockets. Even if this is a 4 or 5 game series, because game one was very much a testament to how much they're willing to fight, and they're not going to just, you know, roll over and die as the 8th seed. And I think that the NBA, and I think the Timberwolves community should be commending this team, because I think they're going to fight. They're going to fight like Timberwolves in at least one game. And I don't think it's going to come on Wednesday night, but if they do grab a game, I wouldn't be surprised either.
No, I think if they are to grab a game, it'll probably be on home court. I think back in the cities, they have a real chance at grabbing a game, but it's going to be tough. This Rockets team is really, really good. And you saw something from the Rockets that I don't think you would have seen last year, namely that a bunch of their guys failed and they still grabbed a win. And that's something that if you're the rest of the Western Conference and you have a team that you think is going to advance and play in the second round, if you're like the Oklahoma City Thunder or something like that, that should concern you, because that's something that you didn't see from last year the Rockets of a year ago, and that's something that speaks to the chances they have of vying for a championship, not just getting to the Western Conference Finals again. Thank you so much, Jeremy, for joining the show. Really appreciate having you on, and we'll have to have you back on before this series is over.
Excellent. Thanks, Colton. I really appreciate it.
Alrighty, and thank you to the Locked On Wolves listeners for tuning in to another Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.